call is now being recorded.
There you go.
Hello, everyone. We are talking today about fuel applications and how GMX units can help in the fuel applications, whether it be gas, diesel, propane, whatever kind of fuel that we have out there, that natural gas. That's the whole point of our call today. A little bit of physics and chemistry about fuel. The hydrocarbon fuel molecules are various combinations of hydrogen and carbon linked by various bonds into long chains and branched chains of atoms forming the various hydrocarbon fuel molecules. As the fuel burns, it generates energy by converting the hydrocarbons into their components by combining them with oxygen. The magnetically treated fuel will cause a charge to be induced to the fuel molecule. This charge will cause an oxygen molecule to be attracted to a fuel molecule. More of the available oxygen will combine with the fuel, resulting in more power being generated and fewer pollutants being released, which means the emissions will be decreased. So we're fracturing the hydrocarbons. More oxygen is being attracted, and everything burns more efficiently. On cars and on automobiles, on pickups, et cetera, we usually use two of the Model 400s on the vehicles. And the units are to be mounted on the fuel line after the filter and before the carburetor. If that can't happen, you try to put these on as close to the fuel injection rail as possible. If that can't happen, then we put these on the fuel line under the firewall under the driver's seat. If that can't happen, we try to put these on the connector line between the inline filter and the fuel line. So because of the propensity of the magnetically treated fuel to attract oxygen molecules when mixed with air in a combustion cylinder, the GMX conditioners enable fuel to burn more completely throughout the entire chamber, whether it's gasoline or diesel or whatever. So with that said, we are having on the line tonight Dan Coleman from Michigan, who has had a lot of experience putting these on big trucks, on semis. And I'm going to turn this over to Dan, and he will explain what he did, how he did it, et cetera. Dan?
Thank you, Sharon. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here tonight and to share. I know these calls are important for all of us to learn from each other and to be able to do a better presentation and a more effective presentation when we're meeting with our clients. And it's true. We've been working for the last 3 years with a trucking fleet, Couperus Trucking, and we started out with understanding that usually it was one or two 400s were being used between the fuel pump and the engine itself, and then one or two 800s being used between the fuel pump and the fuel filter. And what we did when we were doing some testing, this particular organization, Couperus, is one of the top 50 green fleets in America. So they are very, very focused on fuel economy and testing using an approach that's called Society of Automotive Engineer Type 2 testing. And so, needless to say, we've done multiple tests over the last 3 years. And in June of 2014, we proved using this scientific approach that on their fleet, with all the additional aerodynamics going on, we were able to achieve a 5% improvement in fuel economy. They installed that system on their whole fleet, and the whole fleet saw over the next 9 months a consistent 5% improvement year over year on fuel economy. And then over the last, basically since August of last year, we actually were testing the ability for the magnets to show a difference in brand new Class 8 engines or semi-trucks by putting magnets on one of the two trucks in this test that you do with a Society of Automotive Engineer Type 2 test. And we were able to prove that there was about a 4% efficiency that was kept on a brand new engine over not having magnets on a particular truck, the control truck. So we are showing in multiple different ways that we're achieving results. One of the things early on in our testing, we weren't seeing a lot of difference. And there were many reasons for that. I won't go into all of those tonight. But one of the biggest was you have to be able to have a clean out time. When you install the system, you have to allow it to clean out for 2,000 to 3,000 miles. And then you'll start seeing improvements being made. This is something that GMX says in their literature, but it's also something that we actually tracked ourselves during our testing. So we were attempting to be able to put things at point of use with the semi-trucks. And what I want to get across tonight is, are you putting the system, installing it at point of use for the fuel? Or are you putting it where it comes in? For a truck, for a semi-truck, where the fuel comes in is from the fueling station pump into the tank of the semi-tractor. And so we actually ended up putting some 848s on the hose for the fueling station. We had to find a special hose that would allow the magnetic field to go through. And once we did that, we actually saw a spike in improvement that was attributable to having, at the source, magnets treating the fuel. Excuse me. So that the fuel would be treated as it was being put into the tank, and then again the fuel would be treated as it was just before it was going to be used in the engine itself. But if we have to err on which one we do, I always default to point of use versus where the fuel comes into the building or into the tank of the semi-tractor. While we were doing this testing of the Class 8 semi-trucks, we were also doing a commercial application for a paint line in a manufacturing facility. And that particular paint line used about $9,000 a month in natural gas. It took about three and a half weeks after the initial installation. We had three main stations in that paint line that were using natural gas. We used 848 in each one of those stations. The total for the whole system was about 28 magnets that were installed. And after 3 weeks, the very next month of 4 weeks, four weeks and a couple days, we saw a 5.5% improvement in performance, less natural gas being used. So if you remember what Sharon said, that was where you get better combustion. Therefore, you're going to burn more of the fuel and Therefore, you're going to use less of the fuel. We were actually taking daily readings. This paint line ran from 5:30 in the morning until 1:30 the next morning. So they ran for 20 hours every day. And as we continued to track, after that month where we saw the 5.6% savings, we actually jumped to over 20% savings for the next 2 months in a row. And all we needed in order to be able to deliver on what we promised in our proposal was a 3.75% improvement in how much fuel, in this case natural gas, that they were actually using. And so in that installation, we actually had 848s that were clammed together, and we had 4 848s together at each one of those points of use for as it goes through the paint line. One of the things that we'd like to be able to tell folks is you're going to see an overall pattern of potentially immediate improvement in the first 2 or 3 days of use, followed by a degradation. You're going to start using more natural gas. And then, after a 4 to 6 week time frame, you'll actually start to see a difference where you're going to improve on the natural gas use. One of the toughest things to be able to do is to be able to identify what your basis is and how you're going to be able to prove success. Well, that's something that you need to be able to have a good understanding with and a good description with the folks that you are actually working with on your projects. And so what we've done in a couple of these instances, we actually were able to show year-over-year comparisons using degree days. So there's a website that you can go out and you can get degree days information, and you can tell from that how much gas was being used because it was either colder or warmer over a certain time frame, and then you're able to do a year-over-year comparison. We are doing that right now with a greenhouse here in West Michigan, and it actually, we installed, you might have seen a picture of 10 furnaces in a row with 848s installed with a picture out on the web, on the GMX website. That's our greenhouse that we have here, and we actually installed on 44, 45 furnaces where we put 4 848s on each one of those. So we ended up installing 180 magnets. And as we watched the meters and as we watched the results year over year, it followed that same pattern where in the first 4 weeks we saw anywhere from a 10 to 15% or higher use of natural gas. And then in the 5th week, we actually saw an improvement in the natural gas being used. And we're getting ready this week, next week, to actually sit down with the greenhouse farmer to be able to go over the results and show them how it's doing exactly what we anticipated it would do. So from a high-level standpoint, whether it's something that's moving, like a Class 8 truck, or something that's stationary, like a paint line, which is using natural gas at a wash station or a dry-off station or a bake oven, or furnaces that are being used to heat a greenhouse. Point of view, this is really where we put our focus and where we actually see results. And we are actually doing some testing on what would happen if we just put it where the natural gas comes into the building itself. Did somebody say something?
No.
Okay.
Continue, Dan.
All right. Okay. So with that, I know I've talked a couple times about point of use. I talked a couple times at where the fuel enters the system. That's two different places where you can treat. And what we have found is you can get improvements at both places. So it's not an either or. I like to make it a both and. And that we default initially to the point of use. And we've been trained in water applications that the longer the dwell time that the water can stay underneath the magnetic field, the better results you're going to get. And so that's what we've done with the actual fuel side as well, is that for some cars, for example, if I can get three 400s on it, I'll do that because I know there'll be better dwell time and we'll get better results. So I actually put it on a car that I started driving in January and kept pretty detailed records on it and basically saw a 10% improvement in my actual performance of the car before use without magnets and after use with magnets. So again, it's that importance of being able to keep good records, being able to track things well, and being able to then report back to your client on the actual results and have them agree with, yep, that's true. That's exactly what we saw. So some of the challenges that we've had are when we run into, hopefully I won't hurt anybody's feelings if they're an engineer out there, but run into an engineer who says, this can't be. And we've worked with a large contract furniture manufacturer here in West Michigan, and we installed 8,000s on their boiler in one of their plants. And we were able to prove using their data that it actually worked. In fact, we did two different types of tests in order to be able to prove that. And the engineers, which is fine, wanted more proof of being able to go after that. And so we're still working through how we're going to be able to have more proof. And in fact, in order to be able to gather that data, Steelcase is going to actually have to spend more money than the solution, more money on the tools to gather the data than on what the solution actually costs for a different application that's using natural gas in one of their plants. But that's, you know, sometimes a long process in talking with folks and being able to get them to understand what can be and then wanting to be able to move forward with what can be. So it's not something that's going to usually go real fast, but it is something that I think now that we have some proof cases of success, that we'll be able to have conversations with fleet owners or manufacturing owners and be able to expedite going from introduction to what can be and what savings that they can enjoy down to actually let's make it happen, let's install it, let's go forward so that you can actually experience it.
So Dan, Dan, if I could, I know that this is going to be one of the questions on your fleet that you did. You installed two GMX 800s between the fuel filter and the fuel pump, and then two GMX 400 units between the fuel pump and the engine.
Correct.
And then on some of the fleet, the configuration was with the 800s, as I had just stated, but then you also put two 400s on the return line to the engine to the tank.
Correct, because we couldn't get them before the what do you call it, single rail configuration that
mm-hmm.
they had.
Okay. And so for those of you that are listening also, we have a paper mill in Ohio that has had the GMX units on all 10 of their boilers on their natural gas for 8 years, and they have they changed the pipe out initially to stainless steel and then decided to go with PVC, and I believe it's Schedule 80. It's the real thick PVC, whatever was code. And they are getting consistently an 8% savings on their natural gas. And it just seems like the larger the application, the less percentage, but the more significant dollars. They were spending six figures every month, and the GMX saving them a minimum of 8% every month for 8 years has saved them significant dollars. Plus, they can tell that they are not eluting as many emissions. So,
and on the emission side, we did I mention that Kuperus Trucking actually is a very fastidious about how they monitor and measure. They were testing a fuel additive, and that person came in and did some smokestack testing. And the parts per million on average for this particular test, and I'll have to go back to my notes, I didn't come prepared with that this example, but your comments triggered this. They actually were in the 35 range, and he said that they consistently, after they used their fuel additive, would be in the 20, low 20 range on this test that they were doing. And we started out below 10 on a truck that had magnets already installed. So when Sharon talks about a more complete burn, we have some anecdotal information that speaks to that and backs it up. Do we want to...
So this, thank you, Dan, for your information, and this will end the call.